Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Thank you.
I wanna know.
What about if you give us a phone number? And I call you one Saturday afternoon. Perhaps we go in town, have a little bite to eat, and then maybe go and take in a little movie. And afterwards, I'll just drop you at the doorstep, give you a little kiss. Oh, I could do so many things that we could do if you tell me your name. I'm not even married. Are you married? Girl, you gotta tell me your name. Just wait a minute. Don't leave out the door.
Welcome to Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And as always, I'm your host, Deirdre Schuller. And well, I guess from that song that the intruders sang, you know who my guests are today. They are actually the legendary intruders. And I have the lead singer, LJ Waiters, and I have the owner of the legendary intruders with me as well today. And I want to introduce Lee Bradley to the show and Mr. Waiters to the show. Greetings, gentlemen.
Hey,
hello.
Hey,
how are you?
All right.
How
now.
Are you?
How y'all?
I want to know your name.
Yeah. LJ.
Well, hey, I played LJ. That song because that's one of your
and
your
then, brother. Songs. One of our favorite songs. At least mine. I don't know how Bradley and I feel about it, but it's one of my favorites.
Okay, you're gonna have to speak up a little because your voice is a little low.
I said that's one of my favorites. You know, I sing loud, but I talk low.
Well, I'm gonna ask you to talk loud and sing loud on this show.
Okay, then. All right, then, that I want to know your name. That's my favorite. I don't know about Lee Bradley, but I love that one.
Well, Lee is here. He can speak for himself. What do you say, Lee?
Well, it's one of them, but it's so many, well, for me, that I like a lot. I don't know if it's my actual favorite, but it's up there.
Well, what are some of the other songs that you have made famous, your group has made famous?
The ones that... people really know, like Cowboys mm-hmm. the Girls,
yes,
Together,
Cowboys
United, Sad Girl, When We Get Married. But then there's a whole slew of other songs that are pretty successful too, but you don't hear as much, like Teardrops. A lot of people do ask for Jack and Jill. And then there's When Plays the Show, if you want to gamble.
Well, for Mother's Day, you have the most famous one of all.
That one I never actually name because they always. No, I'm just kidding. I always love my mama. That's a dear favorite.
Yes, that's the one that comes on every Mother's Day.
Yes.
And, well, let me ask both of you, and I'll start with LJ, if you don't mind, Lee, about your background. I know you were born in Florida.
Yes.
Palmetto, was it?
Palmetto, Florida. That's near Tampa, 40 miles from Tampa, 20 miles from St. Petersburg, and like 15 miles from Sarasota. My home is Manatee County. It's Tropicana, you know, like right across the bridge from Brooklyn to Manhattan with Palmetto and Bradenton.
Well, you have a lot of... your family's a bunch of singers, aren't they? You have a lot of people that are in show business
in
your collective family.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's quite a few of them. But I'm so busy, you know, trying to do my own thing. So, you know, everybody do their own thing. And God bless the child that got his own. So that's the way it is. So,
indeed. But in your family, you have the Browns, the Knights, the Washingtons, and who else? And the Waiters.
The Waiters, Mel Waiters, he's my Uncle Henry's son. He's out in Texas. He's the one, the hole in the wall. And he did that one. And then Gene Waiters, he used to lead singer for the Platters.
Okay.
And now, you know, it's a lot of them out there, you know, but I don't want to talk about them in both. And the biggest one was James, you know.
James Brown.
Yes, yes, ma'am. But I just found out about Gladys. I didn't know Gladys was related. So
that's a part of the Knight family that's connected to you, Gladys Knight?
Yeah, the Knights, yeah. So they out of, all of them come out of Barnesville, South Carolina. You know, my grandmother, my grandfather, Arthur Brown, Deacon Joe Brown. Matter of fact,
well,
my grandfather.
Sounds like your family woke up singing.
Yeah, yeah. So
how did you get started in the business?
Well, as a kid, my mother, you know, she used to, because my mother loved to sing, too. My mother sounded like a Harriet Jackson to me. That's who she sounded like. But she used to take me to different bars when I was like 5, 6, you know, when nobody babysitting. So I used to listen to Jimmy Reed, Jackie Wilson, and Little Willie John, all this, you know, and Frank and Lyman, you know, when I was growing up. And after, I wasn't doing anything in school and wasn't nobody paying attention and teaching me nothing. So, and I loved the music so much. So one day, my cousin, my grandfather's cousin, Emmett Rowe, he's a contractor, you know, they go up on seasons and stuff, you know, in different states, you know, picking the maters and apples and all like that. So, you know, I'm 16 and I'm Aquarius and I'm curious. And I want to know. And I want to get to my music. So we went back to my grandfather's home. I was there in 1963. And we picking the maters and stuff. So then another brother come out of Tampa. I copped the truck and went up, came up to Hilton, New York. And up there picking apples, and somebody threw one of the guys from Tampa. We were about 16, 17 years old. And he threw and hit me with an apple and knocked me down. I fell out the tree, and they took me over to Vassar Hospital over in Poughkeepsie. And I was about 17 then. About 17. My mother and them, they didn't know where I was. Nobody didn't know. That was 1963. And so I was there, you know, in the hospital, Vassar Hospital. And, you know, like the people that I was over there on that farm, you know, like a camp, a farm, over in Highland, New York. You know, that's before you get to Poughkeepsie, before you cross that bridge. And I stayed in the hospital, had nowhere to stay. And so this lady that was a nurse, you know, her name was Dorothy Lucarini. She's a white lady. And she took me in, you know, because she knew I was
one of my
kids.
But how did you branch off into singing?
Well, I was coming from the hospital, believe me, I swear, I never forget it. I was coming from the hospital, and she had given me the address where to come at when I left the hospital. Because when I came out, I came by this youth center up there in Poughkeepsie. And, you know, it's a youth center right before you get to Main Street on, I think that was on Cortland. But anyway, I heard this band, and they was playing. They just started to Russell Green and Danny and Billy Washington from Kingston. You know, it was a young group. We was all like 18, 19. Russell and them were like in their 20s and stuff, you know. But me and Billy was the young. And so they was playing Barbara Mason, you know. And I knew that song, and I loved it. My voice was that high at that time. So I heard him. I went in there and met everybody. And then I went to singing. And before I know it, we wind up Little John and the Earls. You understand? After thing, you know.
No, you formed a group from that?
Yeah, from the group, from Little John and the Earls. And we worked all around Beacon, Newburgh, Kingston. The soundtrack is New Haven, Connecticut. The Carousel in Springfield. This is before I started recording and stuff. And I started opening up, you know, this guy had us working with opening up for Junior Walken, the All-Stars, all these. I'm sorry, before I recorded, Lloyd Price, he was the first guy I opened up for. And, you know, Stagger Lee, Lordy, Lordy, Mr. Claude. I call him Uncle Lloyd now, you know, because that's how, you know, how we got to put this, you know, I worked with his sister, Basilla's baby sister. She was with my, after she come along with Cliff Drive and them from the Ramrod, you know, had the record Soul Train. So they picked me up in Newburgh, you know, after I left the Earls, you know, because, you know, we wasn't achieving. So I, Lena, Billy, what's his name, Billy Carlisle, and Cliff Drivers, them. They used to did all the Baby Washington records with Bobby Robertson, them, you know, and that's, you know, and they heard me singing at, you know, at Lima Lounge. And they said, yo, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and I got with this Ramrods. I worked with them for 10 years, and then 1969, I started recording. And we recorded the Ramrods and did all the music, you know, behind me and stuff. And,
well,
and,
what record company was that you first got your big
Well, my first
hit.
Record was my first record was United Records. That's 1601 Broadway, the Ed Sullivan Building. That's where the office was at the time. You know, that was like 1969, my first record. You know, Mike and them had out a hit that time, too. I Want You Back. That's when Mike and them started. I think I was about 19 or 20 then. But my first record is, matter of fact, it's on the internet for $31. Baby, Who's Been Fooling You? I wrote that record. And the next label I got with was LaShawn Records. With in 1975, If You Ain't Getting Your Thing, that was a hit with United, LaShawn Records, but Philadelphia, Philly Soul picked it up. You know, People's Choice, Betty, Patti LaBelle, a lot of people were on that label over there out of Philadelphia, Philly Soul. And that went on the top 100 in the Billboard, you know. And,
what was your next one?
Done. The next one was Spectre Records. Not West End Records. We made a deal with West End. And it make it feel like it fell last night, but something went down. They stopped it. Plan, but now they're going to start selling again. So, you know, I got to find out what's happening with that. Then we Jeff Lane, that produced Brass Construction, them, 1990, they cut a thing on me, for Columbia Records, they have it over there, The Panic in the Street, and When Will It Be My Turn? And after that...
Then you did Spectre after that?
No, I did a thing with Spectre. That was in 2001. That's when I, you know, started singing, lead singing for the Intruder, but I was rehearsing with them in 94 before Fred Daughtry. See, Fred Daughtry and Sonny Bird, that's Lee Bradley, that's a family, that's cousins. You know, Lil Sonny Brown, I don't know if he any kin to me or not, but I didn't even know his name was Sonny Brown. Lee kept it from me. I don't know why.
Well, now, Lee, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment because we do have Lee here. And I'm going to ask Lee, he brought himself to the point where he started with the Intruders. And can you carry the ball from there? Because you were a relative of Mr. Daugherty, right?
Right, that's correct. So, Fred and Berg, 2001, yeah. Like you said, 94 he originally came on board. And then, you know, he got involved in a solo project and, you know, stepped off for a minute. But you know how fate would have it, brung him right back by 2001. So, yeah, we just continued from there.
Well, tell me about the history, though, of how the legendary Intruders were born.
It got created in the Bronx, actually. So Fred is living. He's in the Bronx now. And we put it together a group, but originally we called it Little Taste of Love. And what else, LJ? Little Taste of Love.
Because me and Fred Daugherty was the oldest.
Right.
And Fred, Lee and this other young guy that was with him, they was the youngest. I think that was in 94.
Right.
We
my question to you is that you all... Fred Daughtry was with the Intruders?
Right.
The original.
And then the original Intruders. I'm trying to find out how the legendary Intruders birthed. So
that's
you know the history
about.
Of that.
Yeah, that's how it came about. So it started, so the name, we're calling it Gents to Gentlemen. So we had two older guys and two younger guys. Then from there, we changed it to A Little Taste
Back
of Love.
To the group.
And I know the same. Mm-hmm. So, and
oh,
we
the name of
that.
The group was A Little Taste of Love.
Right.
No, always been the Intruders. But what happened?
No. He's telling the history of it. The little, it was the Gents, and then it was the Little
Gents
Taste of Love.
Gents to Gentlemen, then A Little Taste of Love.
Yeah.
So like now we still say a little homage to A Little Taste of Love, up to presently, like up until last night. Before we go on, we say, who are we? A Little Taste of Love and the Intruders. A Little Taste of Love and the Intruders. So, and it keeps us grounded and, you know, remembering where we came from. So we throw that in and we say it before we go on each performance.
Well, last night you were at a big bash. Tell me something about that. That was at the,
TNO Towers.
At TNO Towers, and it was sponsored by our Firefighters Children's Foundation.
Yes. It was
Didn't
awesome
you guys get a little plaque?
Night, we received a plaque from the, a lot of politicians there, congressmen, and different politicians, but yeah, we received the plaque. But the show was awesome. I think, what about you, LJ?
Hey, I'm proud. I am super proud, you know.
Right.
So many people are taking pictures and everybody, promoters, you know, coming over to me. I tell them to marry well. But it was awesome. And you know, like, out of this whole month, I think we had some Dynamax shows and we was packing them. And that's what makes me know that, you know, like a lot of producers, I just got through talking with a producer, James. You know, when you yourself, you don't call, you know, me basically, I don't like to boast about myself or even about, you know, but it's just that I really didn't know how talented we was.
Well, last night you shared the stage with quite a few talented groups, with Full House, Full Force, Blue Magic.
Yeah.
Black
Ivory.
And
that's what I'm saying. And it's an honor because we've, you know, like, basically we've been in that circle. We've been doing it together. You know, as Black Ivory, The Temptation, Stylisted, you know. And to me, you know, like, I'm just happy about it. I'm doing what I love, you know, what I can. After I left Florida and come here, you know, I was 16. That's where I come from, my mission, my dream. My music.
Well,
you
I
know,
shared a bus ride with you guys one time. Went down to the Gullahs.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah,
the Gullahs.
The Gullahs.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that was the Gullahs. Yeah, with the Manhattans and who else? Yeah, that was nice. That was nice, too. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the Cuba Gooding on that show? I think.
Yeah, and Cuba Gooding. No, that was the Cuba Gooding was on the show with us in South Carolina.
That's the
ambassador from Ghana was with us, and him and his
you
wife.
You had quite a few people on the bus, though. I'm trying to remember. Whose mother puts on that? What group's mothers put on that festival?
I think it was the
Manhattan.
And it was another group on the show with us, too, there. The Manhattan.
Yeah, there was another group.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Oh! Hal Melvin and Blue.
Oh yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, that's who. Yeah, yeah.
Hal Melvin, Blue.
Yeah, that was a great show.
The Poussin brothers, the mother cousin, Poussin brothers.
Yeah, but
from the Manhattan.
That's. But her family, they the one that gives it. But I'm saying the
Poussin
on the show.
Poussin, yeah.
Yeah.
And their mother, she's passed on now. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I met her there. Yeah. Well, she was
pretty
elderly
at the
time.
Yeah, she's very old.
Who's doing the festival now?
I don't know who's heading it up, but the Poussin brothers, you know, with just the Manhattans, they're still there each year. You know, they're like the anchor to the performances.
I think his sister got it. They do it now.
His sister took over?
Yeah, I think it's took over.
Well, tell me, LJ,
You also are not just a singer, but you're a songwriter, right? You mentioned that you wrote one song. How many other songs have you written?
Well, my first record that I wrote with Genuine Records, that was Who's Been Fooling You? And Michelle Sanders, it came back to me. A lot of time I record, because I was back as if I would have to, you know, for a while I had got to hold to a little money. So I was back as if I was from here to New York to Florida and stuff. I'm flying back. And I do my music, and they never, I don't know why, they seem like they never get a chance to get do the paperwork stuff, and they go ahead on it and put it out anyway. Michelle Sanders, remember Johnny and Joe Over the Mountain? You remember that record? Over the Mountain. Michelle Sanders is Johnny and Joe back in the days, you know, in the 50s with the Sylvia Robinson and, I've been into the music. But anyway, make a long story short, Johnny's mother, they were supposed to cut that record on us, on me. But I wrote it. I wrote it, and my music, Cliff Driver, like I was telling, he was the keyboard player. And they arranged my music, Billy Carlisle, from there. The record, he used to be with the Doves. He used to sing with the Doves, who could just be imagined. But anyway, we recorded the record with Kool & the Gang that was recording that. And matter of fact, they were supposed to take the record, that Baby Who's Been Fooling You. But what happened, Cliff and them went to bothering the people about money right away, and we hadn't finished the production. And what happened, the people got angry and didn't want to bother with them no more, because they was working with Kool & the Gang them too. So they blew that deal for me. Then I took the demo over to Mr. Tommy Robinson at 1697 Broadway. Who's Been Fooling You and Why Must a Man Be a Fool? That song I wrote about my wife, my third wife. And
what was that? What was the name of that song?
Huh? What
was the name of that
song? And that's where that song come out, about her. And I went to
Florida
and I come back. And they put it out. You know.
What was it called?
What was the name of the record?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, what was the name of the record?
Baby Who's Been Fooling You.
Oh, Baby Who's Been Fooling
and
You.
Matter
okay.
of fact, it's on the internet. Lee just found it today. I thought it was out of stock. They got it for $31. I never got paid on it, and I wrote it. Unity Records, Who's Been Fooling You.
Well, you did mention to me that there was a history of you people sampling or pirating your records.
Yeah,
tell me something about that.
If you go on the internet and type in LJ Waiters, you see everybody and their mama selling it, and people that I don't know none who they is and why they. I just got some numbers, address from a person, a very popular person in the music industry, and he gave me some outs where who had it and who was selling it. And who bootlegging it, you know? So, you know, what I have to do is try to get me an entertainer lawyer and get behind that. But meanwhile, I want to concentrate on my group now. And that's what's, you know, all that's in the past with my other music. If I get the money, it's all right. If I don't get it, it's all right. But now, it's what's now the future, you know, with the legendary intruders.
Tell me about that. Lee, let me ask you that question. I know that you've changed some of the arrangements. You've changed some of the choreography. Are fans to expect a different sound coming from the Legendary Intruders, or what?
Well, over a period of time, you know, that would be the direction. But we try to keep it geared towards where when you see us, you still have the feel of the old group. So we won't stray too far away from, but we do want to introduce new material and a little new routine. But we keep enough of the old in there so that you can still have that familiarity with it. But yeah, down the line, you hear some new things, maybe a little different sound, but not too far away from the original. Because, you know, it's a traditional group. It's not like a new group breaking and trying to come out. So we keep it a little so you can always have a little taste of what it was.
So I understand, though, you're working right now on a new CD, which you mentioned before would probably not come out until March of 2013.
That's correct. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All of that material is brand new, right?
This is new material. And, you know, we'll probably lead off with a single. That single looks like it's going to be one shows to cry on. And then, you know, we add some other new stuff that we're working on now and have in development. And there's quite a few things that we have already lined up. So I hope this will be a nice surprise for, you know, the fans when it comes out. And it won't stray too far away where you won't be able to recognize. But if
we do... Well, I want to play one of your other songs, if you don't mind.
If it does stray too far, let us know. Go to the website and let us know, legendaryintruders.com. You say, hey, you're stepping away too far. Get back over here. You know, something like that.
Well, I also saw on your website that if people come to your concerts and take pictures, that if they want to submit them to you guys, you'll pick some and put them up on the website?
Yes, there's a page on the website where you can upload your photos and it'll be incorporated into the site. Yeah.
Well, I want to identify the station. This is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. This is Topically Yours, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And we're talking to Lee Bradley and LJ Waiters of the Legendary Intruders. And I have a song I want to play by the Intruders called Together. So here we go.
Without a place to go, and we're so in love, in love with each other.
tonight. That was Together by the Intruders. And we are talking to the legendary Intruders. Lee, what do you think about romance music? So much music out today is rap and so forth. Do you think people kind of miss hearing the tunes that you guys sing?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of people that miss that type of music. I hear it all the time. But, you know, I have nothing against rap or anything like that.
I'm just saying that the audiences that you encounter, because I noticed when I went and listened to some of your shows, the people were saying how much they missed romance.
Right. I hear it all the time. And that's along the lines of what I was saying about as far as the new material. I want to keep it, but it's not too far away from the original stuff.
Yeah.
But, Dibble, let me ask you, you know, your fans or your listeners, you know, they may want to know a little about the original group. And they may not have known that they used to go by the name of the Plaids. Did you know?
The what?
Plaids.
Clan?
Plaids. Like plaid pants? Plaids.
Oh, like plaid.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Well, as the story goes, my cousin used to tell me before the name was changed to the Intruders. That's what they went by. And that they got the name of the Intruders from a gentleman named Ben Kraft out in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Now, Ben Kraft was the owner of this store that back in the day all the groups would go to get, like, their uniforms and clothes.
Yeah, all the
clothes
same.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They
so,
go to the get plaid.
Right. So that's down in around the Market Street area. And I actually got to meet him a few times. And the actual first uniform that we got when Fred put us all together was actually from there, too. But when I met him, he was a very old gentleman then. So I don't know if he's still here now. He was a very old gentleman then. But he actually gave them the name the Intruders.
Name the group, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he
along with $500 to get the first record recorded. And that's how the story starts to me about my cousin's rap.
Oh, wow. Isn't that
incredible? Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, part of my training was when Bird actually took ill to the point where, you know, he had to more or less be bedridden.
I'm sorry, your voice is getting low.
Yeah, as I'm thinking, at the time, like with me, LJ, and we were training over here in the Bronx, but it became a time when Bird got very ill and more or less bedridden. So Fred moved back to Philadelphia. So from there, I always have to go there every weekend. And I'd be locked in there, and he'd keep me locked in there, and he'd just rehearse, and he'd send to his baby brother, which is Bert, you know, from the group, Eugene Daughtry. But we rehearse, and I'd go in my room at the house and go to sleep and wake up and rehearse again, just all the time. So just a lot of rehearsal before we actually came on back out there and started touring. When we did come back out, we headed out to California, and then from there we would just go there multiple times a year. And also along with the state and doing jobs and gigs in the state too. But that's a
you ever toured outside the state?
Sure.
Have you been?
Well, that's what I was just saying. When we actually started, we used to head to California quite often. Maybe two or three times a year. We do like the Greek theater out there.
No, I mean outside of the country, I should say.
Yeah. Canada, Germany, yeah. A lot of places.
How were
like
you received
that.
By the Germans?
Yeah, that was very, very receptive. Receptive, is that the right word? Yeah.
Enthusiastic, receptive.
Mm-hmm. And then
a lot of
the
artists
thing.
Tell me that the Europeans are more enthusiastic than Americans.
Well,
if
you look at like the Beatles and you see how attached they were to like R&B music, and that's a big part of their coming out with, you know, like with Sam Cooke and these guys, and Is that right, OJ? The old R&B acts like Beatles and Rolling Stones, you hear them all the time. You know, they'll say it. Chubby Checker, this, that, and that. It was a strong influence on them overseas, the R&B music.
Yeah.
Very strong. So, you know, at some point, I'm jumping around. Now I'm coming up to the last time the group formed, it was made up of all family members. And this was recorded the last album in 83, was Who Do You Love? So at that time we had three brothers, Fred, Burr, and Al, and their cousin Lee Williams, which is
You're saying, can you speak up a little? You said that the group at one time was all family members?
Yeah. When they recorded the last album, it consisted of all family members. Three brothers, Fred, Burr, and their baby brother Al, and a cousin Lee Williams, who sings lead now for the Manhattans.
Yeah.
And then, and then from them, that's the last group of family members. And then you have us, along with LJ and myself. You know, we become the Legendary Intruders.
Now tell me about the other intruders, the Legendary Intruders. We know LJ, because he's here, and you, but tell me about the other two.
Oh, I don't know them guys. You know them, LJ?
Yeah, I met Mac. You know, I come, matter of fact, Mac was there with the group when I come into the group, you know, after I left and went to Florida and come back. But I don't know who that big head boy was. And Jabbar used to be our valet, you know, quite as it kept, you know. He first started out as our valet, you know. And, you know, he took care of the clothes, ironing and stuff. And you know, and...
What brought him into the... When did you allow him to start singing? What brought that about?
He come into the group because David Ruffin... I mean, he got tired. And, basically,
your voices are getting low.
Was.
Can you speak up?
I say he got a little tired, and we wasn't working like we supposed to have been working. So it's that politics thing. So We kept it moving. We got to put him in there, Jabbar, and Ahmed look alike. So only Ahmed got more hair than Jabbar. So we said, well, okay, both of them look alike. And Ahmed, Jabbar have a better sound, you know, if you can keep him on, you know, like keep him straight, you know. You got to keep him, hold him down like them boogie hearts. You got to hold on to him. So he's been working with us ever since.
He had a double purpose. I mean, he can still be the valet and take care of the costumes. So, you know what? The costumes.
Yeah.
How do you? I'm just joking, of course.
I walked. Okay, so he wasn't.
You know, with that uniform thing. It's a long story about that, Mr. Deidre. I like to tell you about that, but it has to be off the air about that uniform thing.
Well,
where do you get
your lovely costumes, though? Because you guys always have these elegant-looking costumes.
Well, we just pick them up here and there as we go along. You know, we just kind of...
He do all the choosing. Nobody, you know, he picks the uniform. So, you know, I just sit back and let him be the boss, man. Go ahead.
Well, Lee does have great taste, so you got to admit that.
Hey,
because all the uniforms are
part of the training that I got from my cousins. It's all involving that uniform.
Yeah, because Fred Daughtry was very strict. You know, he was. he was out for lunch, but when it comes down to the music, the uniform. He was very polished, and that's why we, you know, so I'm glad he taught Lee that. But the only thing, Lee don't like to put the outfits in the thing, you know. And I hate, you know, like you got to put them in there. I'll give you extra money if that's what it takes. You know, I don't like to, you know, and Jabbar don't like to iron no more. So everybody out the way, the iron it. We got to get that budget where we can house another valet, you know. until, you know, put out another album, another singer, whatever happened, you know. Meanwhile, we just, when we had to rush to do a show, you know, at the Unicorn Little Rancor, we have to do it ourselves. You know, but sometimes you might go ahead on and you say, oh, that's young, you're too slow. Come on, let me do it. Yeah.
All right, Deirdre, another thing. Back in, you know, back in the day with back in the day, you know, a lot of the groups used to all run through the house. It's on 8 East Quarter Street. Well, they're not there anymore, so it's okay. You know, to say it, but it's in Germantown, Philadelphia, 8 East Quarter Street. And when you go there before, you know, you go there and you go down in the basement and you see how it's all decorated with all the pictures and old albums and all these kind of things from all the acts. So, like, you know, the Philadelphia acts, the Delphonics, and just all the Bunny Siegler and just so many that you would see. For me, it was like, you know, very interesting and exciting for me to go down there and see all that. But they all used to come through there and hang out there and rehearse there.
Patti LaBelle.
Yeah, she used to go there. Delphonics. Basically, all the those Philadelphia groups that were signed up with Gamble and Huffoon back in the day would all hang out there. And you see them, pictures of them hanging out casually, rehearsing, and, you know, having fun too.
Well, speaking of Gamble and Huff, did they write some of your music?
I'll say they wrote quite a bit of it. That's not the majority of it, but, you know. Some came from outside of this.
But, you know, most of the hits were really did, like, which I just found out recently was, what's his name, Whitehead and them. Whitehead and them wrote the Cowboys and Girls. Mike Fatton and Whitehead.
Yeah, they
wrote a lot of the hits, too.
They co-wrote I Always Love My Mama with them, too. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
And
well,
that's good. You need to have a variety of different acts, huh?
I have that song. Can I play it for the audience?
I Always Love My Mama.
Cowboys to Girl.
Cowboys to Girl. Sure.
Now that's one thing.
Unless you want LJ
again.
To sing it for you. We redid
it again, too, you know. And I'm saying I'm fighting with Lee Bradley now, where he's afraid, you know, other problems, I guess, illegal. But we got that. And the music is different. It's the same. You
well,
can
let's
tell
let
it's the
let's
same.
Have, let's let them hear it. So
yeah.
Let them hear. Let's it. Let them hear it. The audience hear. Song is the truth. Cowboy.
I'm
Texas Cowboys.
Yeah, now that's really, really, really my favorite. You know, after I Want to Know Your Name, and I just finished. Matter of fact, last week I redid it. You know, I had did it. Lee Them didn't know I had did it, but I wanted, you know. And Jabbar, he came and put his background down, and Mac, he ready to put his, you know, his voice down, but we waiting on Lee Bratton. Lee Bratton to put his voice down.
Well, now you, let me bring up the other intruders again, legendary intruders. You say Jabbar, but folks, his name is Jabbar Jones, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Mac's name is it Holland McKenzie?
Yes.
Holland McKenzie, yeah.
Holland McKenzie.
But we call him Big Mac McKenzie, you know.
And they call you Little Johnny, so that's Big Mac and Little Johnny, right?
Yeah. They before I started recording in Poughkeepsie, like I said, they called me Little Johnny and the Earl in all upstate, you know, all that area. Syracuse, I worked up there a long time, you know, before I started recording, like I said, when I was singing Johnny and the Earl, you know, until I come down to the city and start recording my first record in 69, Who's the Fool in You? And everything, you know, ain't look back. Still at it.
Well, you're still at it, and now you're moving forward with the legendary intruders.
Yeah, at another limit.
We're looking forward to your album to be, which won't be out until March, folks, so we've got a little ways to wait, but I gather, as Lee told me, he wants it to be great. So greatness takes a little patience.
Yeah, well, March, you know, which is good, you know, but we got a lot of producers. See, you know, we got another soundtrack out with the movie I Always Love My Mama. You know, we got four soundtracks coming out. And a brother out of Mount Vernon, getting ready to release his version. We got two, so I don't know who gonna come out first or who, because I just got a call from him, Osiris, and the name of the movie is I Always Love My Mama. And you
who's
go
in
on
that?
This,
do you know?
His name is Osiris.
No, who's gonna be starring the movie? Do you know?
Who's starring in it? If you go to YouTube, you'll see. You know, go to YouTube and type in "All We Love My Mama" the trailer, and you see what's happening. But I'm acting in it, and I got a few parts in it, and plus the legendary intruders got four soundtracks on it, which he want to release. You know, so I don't know who gonna put out who the first is. That's, you know, like, you know, I guess you have a chance to meet him, because I'm trying to put the things together now. You know, so
we'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we don't know which one coming first, but I know since the intruders got a little hot now, he wanted to go ahead on and put out that You Got Me Going is the name of it, the title of it, You Got Me Going.
So does that feel good that you suddenly feel a resurgence, that people are coming out and listening to the music again, like in the past? Now it's in
for the last 3-4 shows. It proved to me, and I'm saying we have been basically by ourselves, and we have like 500 crowds.
500 in the crowd.
Yeah.
I heard that last night. That was a huge. Was that a huge venue?
Yes, it was. And the one open. What's the name of that place I was trying to call? In
Queens? Astoria Manor. Astoria Manor.
That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I tell pictures
of it.
That's right.
You played at Astoria Manor in Astoria, Queens.
Last Saturday.
In the Masonic Temple in Brooklyn?
That was the following week. Yeah. You know, Masonic Temple. We just passed by there yesterday, me and Michelle. I showed her where we were.
And what about Boston? Weren't you performing up in Boston?
Yeah, I was in the Sugar Shack up there. They had a review of the Sugar Shack where all the groups, all the famous groups, Ohio Players, Junior Walker, All-Stars, we played there back in 1966. We were there, and that was the famous club up in Boston, Mass. You know, the Sugar Shack, the Downtown Lounge, the Golden Lounge. I played them all. Zach's, the Carousel, you know.
And you've done some festivals, too. You visited Sugar Shack just recently, but you've done some festivals up in Boston as well as other places.
Yes, we did the Italian Festival. That was last August. August, you know. He was up there, so I think they're trying to get us back up there. So I guess we got to do that paperwork and that money work, and then we'll be back up there. You know, I mean, the business first now, you know. When we older people now, so now it's all about business. You know, before
there
it was being the glamour and the girls, and, you know, so as you get a family and get older, you go to thinking about the family and things, which you have to put a nest egg away, you know. And so you have to leave them old barracudas alone. And so we start all over again. You know, the group is tight and getting tighter. And, you know,
well, you
I
have
feel
children.
Very
right?
good about it. Huh?
You have children?
I fathered 11 kids, and 5 of my kids died for lupus. I just lost one in 2008 from lupus, a blood disorder, and I lost Jason in 2009.
So
but
sorry,
my, yeah, but I have one of my sons, he's a detective, detective. But, you know, he's off the post now. I had a little problem with that. But then one of my daughters, CO, down at 100 Center Street, that's Tracy. And my Sean, he's got a movie. He's doing White Boy Brown. You go on the internet and see it. It's Sean Sawyer that took his mother's last name like I took my mother's last name, Wavis. But I'm a Davis, Johnny Davis. My, you know,
but
my grandmother raised me a Brown.
You're a family man too, Lee, right?
Yes. Two beautiful little. No, they ain't little anymore. So it's a bad for the kids. But now I have grandkids.
That's
the little one. Yeah.
Wow.
Three.
And then just
see them
like
all the time.
I remember when they go into school. Now they grandkids, grandma. That's it. Yeah. That's how long I've been knowing it. Yeah.
Well, you guys, it's been pleasant talking to you, but we have come to the end of our hour, and it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No,
it's not.
It
always goes fast.
Yeah,
it always does, and people are always shocked, like they're saying, an hour? That's going to be too long, and then it comes like, bam.
You don't even know it. It's here and gone.
But
I enjoy it. I enjoy talking
nice.
To you. You know,
it's like listen. I like listening to LJ. He's like he's a storyteller. You know, I guess that's how we
I know. Well, I need a 5-hour show for him.
Well,
yeah.
You know what like Reverend Sharpton. What Reverend Sharpton said. He's on here. I listen to him all the time. That my mother loved Reverend Sharpton. But anyway, you know, tell a story. You know, and like it's real. Do it real. So, and I feel, you know, like a lot of our producers, and we got 3 producers now, Deidre, so you'll get a chance to meet them because I've been talking to you about them, to them about you. So you have a chance to meet them, then you can, you know, have so much to work with.
Well, I'm going to end the show now, and I'm going to thank both of you, Lee Bradley and L.J., or Little Johnny
Thank you
Rick
for
coming on.
Yes, ma'am. Known as
giving
LJ
us a little
Rick.
History and background.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I enjoy it. All right, so good talking to you.
It's a
and I'll speak to you later, Mr. Bradley.
Yes, sir.
All
I
right.
Did,
the Blake
Thanks
Radio
again,
Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Shue, your host, and I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours.
All right, babe. I'll talk to you.